LJR News Director Joshua Dixon. On Friday, June 5th, nearly 500 Redwood area residents gathered at the Redwood Falls Airport to begin a march to Ramsey Park in memory of George Floyd. Marches like that don't just happen on their own. In this case, Stan Cates of Redwood Falls was the person with the inspiration. With the support of his family, friends in the city, and area law enforcement, the march went off better than anyone had any right to expect. After brief addresses by Cates, Redwood Falls Mayor Tom Quackenbush, and Redwood Falls Police Chief Jason Kottner, a diverse group of volunteers and participants walked over 2 miles along Highway 19 and 71 towards the park. Passing cars honked their horns in support, and bands of supporters provided water for the walkers along the highway. The event ended at the Zeb Gray Shelter at Ramsey Park with a brief ceremony bringing everyone together to honor George Floyd. I spoke with Dan Cates this week about how the idea for the march came to him, about how he made it happen with much help from the community, and the aftermath. Let's just start off sort of going in chronological order. How did the idea of organizing this march come up with, and what sort of encouragement or discouragement did you get?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I mean, it starts with just being from the, or living in the area so long and going to school here and everything. You kind of see, just like in any town, any area, you see the good and bad of everything, of course, and you realize that there's a lot more good out there that sometimes tends to get outshadowed by the bad, whether it's in our town, in the state, nationally, globally, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just kind of like bringing attention to that, and then obviously with everything going on right now, with George Floyd and everyone else who's lost their life, I've been in the cities ever since George Floyd died every day for about a little over a week, just whether it was protesting or helping clean up or handing out food and doing all that kind of jazz. So I'm kind of just up there on the front lines, and this has always been something that I've been super passionate about. Always just been a big advocate for equality and all that kind of stuff, I guess. And then being on the front lines in the cities and kind of seeing everything just made me want to do more, I guess, than just be in the background and kind of just let it all die down after a couple weeks. So I was talking to some friends about just what to do next, and then my mom and I were having a discussion, and the idea just came up to have a march in town.
So you've lived your whole life in Redwood, or are you based?
Not my whole life, but most of it, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, went to high school here and all that kind of stuff, so.
Okay, so where are you based now?
I'm in Redwood still now.
You're in Redwood now. Okay, so when you were up in the Twin Cities, you're not living there right now?
Nope, I was just traveling, yep, going up there every day.
And got it.
Just trying to do my part, yep.
Okay, so you've got that comparison of the small town Redwood Falls life as compared to the Twin Cities, and what differences or similarities do you see just in life between those two different areas, and maybe just in terms of dealing with law enforcement and such?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've known, and not even just from like living here versus I've lived in other big cities and in the cities and everywhere else too, I think the problems are the same. They're just portrayed in different ways. One thing you kind of learn living in a big city is that in all aspects, not even just racially, people don't really give a dang like what they say or do, because it's like, well, I can just be myself and I'll never see this person again. So it's more of just what you see is what you get in a bigger city, whereas here it's a lot of, I guess, underhanded, not necessarily underhanded, or you just you don't know, always know where you stand, or you think one person is one way and it's a little bit different that way. So I think it's just more the problems are the same. It's just the way that they're portrayed is the biggest difference, I guess. I guess in the smaller town, it's more underhanded and behind the scenes, and just because it's harder to be open about those negative feelings because you're going to see the people again, and you deal with their family and their friends and your kids go to school with them and what have you. But then as far as the police go, I mean, I got arrested in the cities in the day that everyone got arrested on the bridge, just for protesting. And mm-hmm. you saw two very different sides of law enforcement, which I think is kind of how our country is right now, too. You have two just very different sides of people, and not even just race or profession, but just within races and within professions. I mean, we had officers that were genuinely trying to help us. Like, we had a girl in front of me in line when we were waiting to get on the transport buses was like asked an officer to take a selfie with her, and he did it. Some officers were talking to us about like how they don't agree with everything that's going on, and they don't want to be out here arresting us, and they realize that there's a problem. And then there are other officers where like they refused to give us water, and they were screaming at us and like threatening to shoot us when we were just sitting still, and pepper spraying us for no reason. So there's just a very different, there's two different, very different sides to people that you, that I'm just starting to see more than ever, I would say. And then honestly, that was my biggest worry or nerves, I guess, about talking to the city here, just because, to be honest with you, I've never really had any like run-ins with the law enforcement. Like, I don't do anything to get in trouble. So mm-hmm. like, it's just more of, it's more of things that, that have happened to me that shouldn't have happened, whether it's getting pulled over when I was younger for no reason, or just a lot of racial things that have happened to me in life, whether here or elsewhere. But I don't know. I think that's the biggest thing, that I was just nervous because I didn't know how it would go or how it would be taken. Not that I thought that they would necessarily be mad at me for doing it. I just didn't know what kind of support I have. And I'd already set my mind to, like, okay, even if they say I can't do it, I'm going to do it anyway. Not
You're
to
talking about
them
holding the march,
cause,
right?
Yeah,
if
yeah,
they
absolutely.
Say you can't hold the march, right?
Yep, 100%. And now I already talked to my family and my friends about it, and even if they did support it, I thought it would be 50 people at the most, honestly. I didn't think it would be a big thing. I didn't think we would get the support we got, to be quite frank with you. But yeah, I was going to do it regardless, not in a violent way. It would have gone the exact same way. It still would have been peaceful, everything else. But I just, regardless of what pushback I got, I was going to go through it with it anyway, because I feel like it was a message that needed to be done regardless. So I went in just kind of hoping it went well, but preparing for the worst, and it went better than I ever could have hoped, to be quite frank with you.
What was your original plan? Because you said you weren't expecting maybe more than 50 people. So what was your original plan, and how did it sort of change or evolve as you were talking with the city and with other people in the area?
Yeah, so I mean, it wasn't... It was the people in the area that changed, or that made it as big as it did. So when I was talking to like law enforcement, and so it was Chief Cotner, my mother, me, the mayor...
What was your mother's name?
Gail.
Gail, okay.
Yep. The mayor and then the city admin. And we just met at the community center, and basically they just wanted to know where my head was at with it. Like, what my goals were, what the point of it was. Understandably, they were nervous, just like I was, I guess. But yeah, like I said, as soon as I told them who I was and about me, and they got to kind of, I guess, think they knew me a little bit, it made them very comfortable. And from there, like, the support was unreal. I mean, it just, Chief Cotner offered to walk with me, which is something that I was going to ask. And that was probably the thing I was most nervous to ask, was if it did go well and they did say, okay, yeah, you can do it, I really wanted to have officers walking with us. Just because from being in protests in the cities, I realized that that's probably the number one thing that all of us want, is just the symbolism of, okay, like, you're an officer, but you're admitting there's a problem, and you're crossing the line, and you're walking with us. You know what I mean? You're not
presenting the united front.
Wrong. Exactly. Yep. 100%. Instead of it's someone has to change the us versus them narrative, and all it takes is one officer to step across. And that's really what my goal with this whole march was. Okay, I'm going to have the march regardless, but if I can't get an officer to step across the line with us, then it's still just going to be us versus them. And there's not going to be actually any healing that's done, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, yeah, so that was the biggest thing. And honestly, before I even had a chance to ask, Chief Cotner said, I want to walk with you. I'm going to be walking with you. So that was huge. I mean, especially the fact that he was the chief of police, too. I mean, it was gigantic. It was more than what I could have hoped for. And the fact that the mayor was there, too, when everyone showed out. So as far as the city goes and the police department, like I said, the support was unreal. Because the reality is, as a person of color, the older you get, you can see, you can kind of tell who's a real ally and who's kind of saying it just to say it, or because the cameras are on, it's the supposedly right thing to do. And you can kind of differentiate those people. And the entire time, it was genuine, it was sincere. It wasn't because what will happen if I say no to this or if we don't do this. It was, they genuinely want things to be different than what they've been, which meant a lot to me. And that's what gave me kind of the desire to join the police commission, too. I'm just going to be honest. I mean, like, as a person of color, relationships between us and law enforcement aren't great. And my whole life, you as a person of color, you kind of grow up being taught not to trust the police and not to just to kind of be wary. I mean, there's literally like an unwritten handbook for like how to deal with an officer when you're pulled over, and just cops have always just been made to be out to be the bad guys. And so it was nerve wracking and scary. But when they supported that and I got the sense that it was genuine, that's when I guess I was okay with joining the police commission, or felt like it was actually going to be, we're not doing this just because you're a black guy and it's going to make us look good. Like, we genuinely want your input and want your help. So
when you didn't have any idea, when you're thinking that there might only be 50 people showing up at this thing, was the original plan to start at the airport and then go to the Zeb Gray shelter, or did that sort of grow as you learned more and worked with other people and saw more people getting involved?
So the plan was originally, I kind of posted a Facebook status before I had even talked to like anybody at the city, and just said that I was going to do this on that Friday that we did it. And I believe I posted that on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. I said we were going to start at Walmart and just walk to the park. So it was a very like rough plan. I talked to my close friends and family about it, and we knew more, like we were kind of organized-ish, but I didn't think we were going to have this giant like support for this. So I was just like, okay, I don't really need to give a ton of details or have too much figured out yet, because it's just going to be me and people that I know. But then it got shared and talked about so much and blew up, and it was in other cities' newspapers. And that's the point where I was like, okay, we need to get like an actual plan down. We need to sit and plan a route. We need to get the city involved. We need to get Deuce on the Res involved. We need to get MnDOT involved. And it was nerve-wracking, because we had about 2.5-3 days at the most to get it all done. But with the amount of people and help, and not even just the city, I mean, like the businesses, like I could go off forever and name like the people and businesses that stepped up and helped. But yeah, so I mean, basically once we figured out we were going to do it and the city was on board, they basically helped plan the route. So instead of like Walmart, we decided to start at the airport. Zeb Gray shelter was where I was planning on going anyway, and they kind of said, yeah, that would be a good idea. And then, yeah, from there, we just kind of kept getting the word out, and then me and my family and some friends scrambled to get everything together and set up, and we went with it. And even still, I mean, up to the day, I had no idea how many people there would be. You always think that you're going to have, you know, 500, and then, oh, shoot, 100 show up or whatever, but we had more than any of us could have ever hoped for. So
as you saw the cars gathering on the airport lawn, and all of a sudden it was feeling real to you, how were you reacting? Were you nervous? Were you exhilarated? What was going through your head?
Well, my friends will tell you, yeah, I was incredibly nervous. Just because, not only because it's a lot of people and I knew I had to stand up there and talk and all that kind of stuff, but A, this was such an important thing to me. Like, genuinely, this is like just of utmost importance to me, and not even just black versus cops or white or anything like that, but just equality in general. And I wanted this to go so well and to have the impact that I wanted it to have. And then on top of that, I knew, you know, one thing goes wrong and it comes back on me, and it's what could have been so positive will turn negative so quick. So it was just the apprehension of who's going to come to this, are they allies, are they against us, is it going to go smoothly, is someone going to just do one bad thing and ruin all this? So there was a lot. There was definitely a lot going through my mind. But honestly, as soon as Deuce prayed and then I started talking, all the nerves went away, and it was go time. Like, we needed to do this. This needs to be done. And we went with it.
So first you spoke, and then Chief Cotner spoke, and then I think the mayor spoke after that. And
yep.
Then the actual time for the march began. And how did that go, the actual walking down the highway and getting reactions from people? I know there were businesses along the highway that were responding. There were people honking horns and showing support. What was that, the actual march itself, like?
Yeah, and I don't know how much time you have for this or what you want to do, but like, the businesses, like whether it was Pizza Ranch and the Synod in town and Casey's and Jackpot and so many places like stepped up and just helped out and did stuff for us. It was unbelievable. But I spoke last, and then after I spoke, we just started going, and that was kind of, so there was talk in town that there were some potential like white supremacist groups in town. I know Marshall had seen some, and then I actually got some Facebook messages the day of and the day before from people that were on our side, on my side with things, and then were just saying they had seen some people driving around town with some Confederate flags waving and some out-of-state license plates and all that kind of stuff, and like they were, the one lady said that they were like visibly like angry and causing like and yelling around and stuff. So we really didn't know. We had no idea what to expect. But once it started, I honestly, man, I can't say it enough. Like it was a dream how well it went. Like I didn't hear a single person drive by and say anything negative. People were honking and waving and businesses were standing outside and supporting and people were waiting on the side of the road and like it went so smooth. I mean, I was worried about, is this too long of a walk for people? And it didn't seem like a big problem. Like, I don't know how it went so smooth. I don't know how everything just was perfect. All I can say is it was love. Like, at the end of the day, like, the only thing that's going to stop all this stuff we're going through and the only thing that's going to kill all this hate is love. And with that many, like, that much love around and that many people around that wanted this to go well, I just feel like, looking back, I don't even know how it could have failed.
I know that along the route I saw some like older citizens who couldn't do the actual marching were standing there and just showing their support, just watching you walk by.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got a lot of Facebook messages about that too. Just people saying that like, hey, I'm with you in spirit. I can't physically walk for whatever reason, whether it was COVID, whether it was just age or illnesses or what have you, but just saying that we're there in spirit or that we're going to drive by and honk or that we're going to be outside our houses waving, it was amazing. Like, it was, I mean, if you count the people that were in the march plus the ones that drove by and honked and waved or sat outside their houses, I mean, we're probably pushing 600, if not more, people. And like I said, out of that 600 or whatever the actual number was, to not, at least myself and no one I've talked to not anyone to have heard a negative comment or anything just bad happening at all is just, it's insane. It really is crazy. And I mean, we had, just like we had businesses that were supporting us in town, we had businesses that either didn't support or were just nervous or what have you, which I guess is understandable. But I mean, now after seeing the way things went, I think that if and when this ever happens again, the support will only grow because they know what our goal is and they know that it's unification and it's getting everyone together and it's getting everyone to listen and to learn from each other and to accept each other, and it's nothing malicious or anything like that. So I think the support will only grow going forward. But
so when people arrived at the Zeb Gray shelter and there was a ceremony there and then everybody started dispersing, what happened then? What did you do then?
Everything happening so quick, I never really thought about, or the one thing I didn't really account for was what to do when we got to the shelter. Like we had rides set up for people, so like that part was figured out, but I didn't have like a speech prepared for the end like I did in the beginning, and so last second I guess I waited for everyone to come and stood up on a bench and just said like, hey, my last, just off the top of my head, you know, thank you guys, like I love you guys, let's keep it going, I don't even know what I said because I was just so in the moment and so overwhelmed by like just the love and the turnout and everything. But so I did that, and then I asked Dane Nelson and Trini and those guys to sing for us, and they did that, and then everyone just kind of hung out and talked for a while and started dispersing. We had some, again, Pizza Ranch provided food for us, so there was like pizza there for people to grab if they wanted. Ten Creek Range, my good friend Cody Wellnitz and his wife Carly and their family, they run that, and they were there. They were also there passing out water and food and stuff along with the Goldlishes. So just, There's everything was set up smoothly, and then, like I said, we just had the memorial in the actual shelter set up, so people could put their posters, and there was flowers to buy along the walk that we had set up, so people could put their posters and flowers down, and then my family had, like, a wreath and a cross, and then Stormy Charlemagne drew an amazing picture of George Floyd, so that was part of the memorial, too. Yeah, I don't know, it was amazing, and then afterwards, I guess, I just waited for everyone to disperse. Obviously, I didn't want to leave till everyone else did. And then that whole week, and even the weeks before, just because I had been back and forth from the cities, like I was so busy and so overwhelmed and like so, just a wide range of emotions from being arrested and shot and pepper sprayed and tear gassed and just everything I saw and heard, and then plus planning the march and then doing this and worrying about that, I was just so exhausted and overwhelmed. So afterwards, I just came back, and then some of my good friends, like my best friends who were there with me and helped me through all this and helped me with my speech and helped me just organize all this stuff. We just sat at my house and just, honestly, we were all kind of just in shock and overwhelmed just by, we just kept talking about like how insane it was to have that much love there and how well it went. And just, I don't know, we all kind of breathed finally for the first time in a few weeks and just let the positivity sink in, I guess. Because like I said, I mean, I've just been seeing so much, whether personally or on the news or what have you, and I've been gone through so much. It was just a moment to, like, to realize how much good is in the world. Like, there was so much negative going on. There's so much hate and so much, and understandably so, I guess. But at the end of the day, like, just this whole march just reaffirmed, like, if I ever forgot it or lost it, that, like, not everyone in any organization or group of people is bad. People, at the end of the day, like, all a human being wants is love. And whether we understand that or don't know it or don't know how to go about it is the issue. But when you get that many people that just show love, it just kind of conquers everything. And the feeling was just overwhelming. And even talking about it now, it's still just bringing it back. Like, just, it was overwhelming. I don't know. So we just sat at my house and just talked about it for hours and just kind of just sat there in disbelief. And I shed some tears, honestly, just because it was just so, I don't know. Yeah, just everything was just so overwhelming. But
life-changing?
To say the least. And I'm on just like a whole, I've always been someone that's good at talking, but I'm just not really, I don't like being out in the public. I'm a very just to myself, kind of my group of people, low-key, very individual. So this was way out of my comfort zone, to be honest with you. I have a voice, and I'm good at using it, and I'm good. I'm a leader, but I just don't like to unless I feel like it's a cause that I really need to get up for. And this was one of them, and I'm happy I did. I'm happy I got shot in the cities. I'm happy I got arrested. I'm happy I got tear gas. I'm happy I saw all the negative. And then I'm also happy that I organized this march or helped organize this march because it wasn't all me. And that I saw what I saw here. And it just kind of balances out. You know, you see so much negative in the cities. And then you come here and I do this. And it was just love. And it was all positive. And like you said, it was life-changing. And it's definitely something that, it's a fight that I'm continuing now. I'm using my voice. I have a podcast I'm starting. Yeah, it's just, this is a fight that's going to continue for me. Once, if ever, and I pray to God, like, race relations and police and race relations get better, then it's just on to the next fight, whether it's LGBTQ stuff, whether it's getting these kids out of concentration camps in America, whatever it is, like, this is just, it's been life-changing, and it's a fight that I'm going to keep up with probably for the rest of my life now, to be honest. I just realized that if everyone's scared to be a leader, and if you're scared to get out of your comfort zone, and you're scared to speak up and stand up and do something, then that's the reason the world hasn't changed in all these years. So it's time for people with a voice and with ability to get up and use it.
It's my understanding at the city council meeting that I attended that opening just happened on the police commission, and someone said, well, why don't we try asking Dan? Is that how it happened? Did they approach you on that?
Yeah, so it was actually at the first meeting we had. I believe it was the first. Yeah, it was the first meeting. So we were about, I would say, probably half an hour into the meeting, maybe about halfway, a little under halfway through with the meeting. They basically just stopped it, like, mid-meeting. And I believe it was Mayor Quackenbush or the city admin, one of the two, and they just said, like, hey, we had kind of talked about this beforehand, but we didn't really know you or anything yet. We wanted to get to know you, but now that we've talked to you and we see where you are and who you are, they're just like, we would love it, and we would be honored if you would join the police commission and just help continue this change, you know what I mean? It's great to have a march one day out of the year, but then what are you doing for the rest of the 364? And that's just what I feel. Again, like, and full disclosure, like, I was very hesitant, very hesitant, because just this isn't something that people of color usually do or trust, or just, it was just a foreign situation and caught me out of the blue because I had no idea they were going to ask. But then again, I mean, from their perspective, they had that meeting, got to know me, and from my perspective, during the meeting, I got to know them. And I, like I said, I feel like they were truly sincere in their desire to, like, to change, to, like, honestly change, not just because it's, that's what they need to do for the cameras. And so, yeah, I said yes, and that was really it. They had a vote for me, and they said it was unanimous.
Have you actually attended any meetings yet? Have they had any?
I have not. Nope, they haven't had one since then. I believe the next one is July 8th, if I'm not mistaken. And during that meeting, we're actually going to be talking about or voting on getting the officers and different weapons, and not like not lethal weapons, but non-lethal weapons. From what Chief Kotler told me is, essentially, tasers are they don't work well in optimal conditions, and then you get to like to cold weather, and they're literally completely ineffective. So we just want to take away, we want to give the officers something else to use if the tasers don't work, so that lethal force isn't their, they don't feel at least that lethal force is their only other option. We just want to give as much, I guess, rope as there is before lethal force is considered necessary. If they have a taser and then go, God forbid they were going to go from taser and then they had to go straight to gun, I mean, that's a quick jump from a taser to now you're dead. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. if we have taser and then, like I said, we're voting on whatever other lethal weapons that they can carry instead of, you know, guns or whatever else, it's just another way to help cut down on this violence and stuff. So, yeah, so there are genuine things that this appointment is doing that it's not just for window dressing. It's not just for whatever. Like we're seriously making some changes, and I feel like I'm going to be a huge part of that. So I'm grateful for the opportunity for sure.
One last question. This is sort of a standard last question for me whenever I talk to someone. What am I forgetting to ask about? What would you like people to know about that I haven't mentioned or asked about?
I don't know. I guess the two things would be just, A, the people that helped out. I'm grateful for them, and I'm grateful that people are happy that I did all this, but I couldn't have done any of this without, like I said, Cody Carley Wellnitz, Allie Schiller, my family, Shane Johnson, just the businesses that stepped up. Like I literally, and I'm not saying this as just a padding, like it would not have happened without them. So great, just incredibly grateful for that. And then I guess the last thing I would say is just, if there are, and I know there are people still out there that think that this is just, that whatever going on is just unnecessary and they're sick of it and they're tired of hearing about it and this and that. But like, the reality is people of color have lived this every day of their entire lives. So we're tired of it too. And this isn't something that we want to keep going. You know, like the ideal situation for everyone is that we all just sit and listen and learn and accept that there's a problem and work to fix that problem so that this all can end, so that we can move on, so that we can, things can go back to whatever quote-unquote normal is, although we don't want the old normal. We want a new normal where everyone is treated equally and seen equally. But this is a fight that isn't going to end until the problem ends, you know? And then, like I said before, then when that problem ends, it's on to the next one. I mean, there's just, the reality is there's a lot of disenfranchised and hurt and just people that need help out there. The fight for them is just never going to end.
We'll be back in just a few moments.